welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we get started, I do want to remind you that if you've not already nominated the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio at podcastawards.com, you have until this Saturday to do so. Go to podcastawards.com and nominate us in the entertainment category, along with any of your other favorite podcasts. Well, folks, it's time now for today's episode of The Avenger, the original air date, February the 7th, 1946, and the title is Death in the Air.
The Avenger.
The road to crime ends in a trap that justice sets. Crime does not pay.
The Avenger, sworn enemy of evil, is actually Jim Brandon, a famous biochemist. Through his numerous scientific experiments, Brandon has perfected several inventions to aid him in his crusade against crime as the Avenger. Most remarkable of these inventions is the highly secret diffusion capsule, which cloaks him in the black light of invisibility. Brandon's assistant, the beautiful Fern Collier, is the only one who shares his secrets and knows that he is the man the underworld fears as the Avenger. And now, The Avenger and Death in Midair. The circus is in town, a small one-ring circus of menagerie. Jim and Fern are on the midway.
You missed, Fern. Go ahead, try again.
Oh, no, my arm's
no,
tired,
go on.
Jim. No, I swear those wooden milk bottles move around back there. I can't hit them.
Well, how about trying something with a larger target, huh?
Sir, are you implying that the fault lies with my aim?
Oh, of course not. I merely think you'd have less trouble hitting the side of a bomb than a milk bottle.
I'm insulted. Say, isn't it time for the show in the big tent?
Oh, yes, we better get going.
Oh, Jim, these little one-ring circuses are more fun than the big ones.
Uh-huh.
Oh, look, cotton candy. Let's get some.
Oh, okay. Two spools, please. There you are.
Oh, thanks. Isn't it pretty?
Mm-hmm.
Just like a big handful of flowers.
Hooray, hooray. The big show starts in just 5 minutes. Here's your tickets right over here for the biggest little circus in the country. Hooray, 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 folks.
It seems like we got here just in time, Jim.
Oh, there's no hurry, Fern. Unless I miss my guess, that Barker doubles in brass as ringmaster. Look at his costume.
Oh, very fetching. Oh, Jim, do you know what we forgot to get?
No, what?
A balloon.
Well, that's easily fixed. There's the balloon man's cart on the other side of the big top.
You mean that funny-looking go-kart?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Science has recently come to the aid of the balloon vendor. That novel rocket device is filled with gas. All the balloon man has to do is attach the balloon on top of it, turn the valve, and presto. Your balloon is blown up to whatever size you want.
Oh, I'll take a big red one. There's the man now. Hurry, he's moving away.
Oh, wait a minute. We want some balloons.
Are you calling me, mister?
Yes, 2 balloons, please.
Sorry. Can't sell any balloons till after the show.
Oh, why not?
They aren't allowed in the big tent during the show. They get loose, get the way of the performers.
Oh, well, will you be stationed here after the show?
Yeah, sure thing. Excuse me, I gotta wheel this cart around to the exit and help get the animals out for the show.
Oh, you double as a trainer, huh?
Yeah, sometimes. See you after the show. Better go in now if you want to get a good seat.
We'll get the balloons later, friend.
Sorry.
Last call for tickets. A big show is beginning. Get your tickets here.
Oh, come on, Jim. I don't want to miss the main event.
Attention, please. Attention, ladies and gentlemen. We are now about to present the main attraction of our world-famed show. I give you the great Franciati, sensational artist of the tightrope. This illustrious star of the ozone will perform his thrilling, breathtaking
taking giant stride on the tightrope and follow it with a complete revolution on the trapeze. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the Great Franchetti.
That tightrope and trapeze must be at least 60 feet from the ground.
And there's no safety net either.
Oh, I'm afraid to look.
Oh, Franchotti knows his business, Fern. Nothing will happen to him.
Ladies and gentlemen, quiet, if you please. Franchotti is ready to begin his perilous journey across the tightrope. Here he goes. One step. Two. Three. He's balancing himself now for the thrilling, dangerous giant stride. He's set. Here he goes. He made it! And now, watch closely, ladies and gentlemen. Watch Franchotti perform the most dangerous and daring stunt ever attempted in midair. He will make a complete revolution on the trapeze and land back on the tightrope. He's ready. Here he goes. He's on the trapeze. He's swinging back and forth. He lets go. He somersaults. He missed the wire. Look out!
Over here.
Oh, thanks for phoning me, Fern. It was an accident, though, wasn't it?
Well, it certainly looked that way to me, but I don't know what Jim thinks.
Now, where is Jim?
He's in that tent talking to Baldwin.
Who's Baldwin?
The manager and ringmaster. They're waiting for you, Inspector.
They're coming along, Fern?
No, I'll wait here.
Okay, this shouldn't take long. Jim?
Oh, come inside, Inspector.
Hey, what's on the fire here?
Inspector, this is Mr. Baldwin.
Yes, I know. How do you do?
I've just requested Mr. Baldwin to hold the circus over for a few days, Inspector.
And I have refused to do it, Inspector. We're scheduled to open in Ricardo tomorrow, and I don't see why we should have to cancel engagements because of an accident.
Well, he's right, Jim, unless you've got some mighty good reasons we can't hold this circus up here. Don't you realize they can be sued for breach of contract if they don't fill their engagements?
If Franchotti's death was a natural accident, yes. But if there's a reasonable doubt of that, the law is well within its rights.
Say, what are you getting at, Brandon? Franchotti's death was accidental.
Oh, how can you prove it?
Well, I was standing right underneath him. I ought to know what happened. He just missed the rope and fell, that's all.
I'll admit that's the way it looked.
Well, Jim, why all this fuss then?
Oh, he's just trying to put the squeeze on us to get some publicity for the police department.
Just a minute, Baldwin. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I seem to remember that this is the third accident that's occurred in this circus so far this season. Two other aerialists met their deaths before Franchotti.
Is that right, Baldwin?
Yes, that's right, Inspector. Well, we've just had some bad breaks this season, that's all. That's the way it goes in this business. Sometimes we get through a whole season without a single mishap, and other times we don't. You know the old superstition about accidents happening in threes. Well, Franchotti was the third. I tell you, he just missed the rope. That's the risk these aerialists take.
Well, those previous accidents put a different light on things, Baldwin.
Different light? Why? We got clearances in the towns where they happen.
And you'll get a clearance here when we're satisfied about Franchotti.
You see, Baldwin, in this town, we're inclined to believe that one death may be an accident. Two deaths may be coincidence, but three deaths just may be murder.
Murder?
You better tell your men the circus is staying here a while, Baldwin. I saw they were beginning to pull up stakes when I came in here.
Well, all I can say is if you fellas hold this show up here for more than 48 hours, the Eldor Circus will be ruined.
We'll work as fast as we can. You can depend on that.
Well, you'd better. Because if you can't back up your statements, Mr. Eldorf is the kind of man who will make you pay through the nose.
Brandon, that's the rope.
This is the trapeze Franciotti worked on during his last performance.
Thanks, Baldwin. This rope looks perfectly okay, Inspector. Let's see if there are any weak spots on the trapeze. Here, take hold of that end.
All right.
You got it? All right. Pull.
There's nothing wrong with that, Jim.
No.
I told you, Franciotti just lost his balance and fell. After all, he wasn't such a young man anymore.
After those first two accidents, why didn't your aerial office use a net, Baldwin?
They refused to. Using a net lowers an artist's prestige and cuts down his chances of hitting the big time.
Hey, Jim.
Hmm?
This rope's been waxed.
Oh, that doesn't necessarily mean anything, Inspector. Some aerialists wax the rope to lessen the friction and the stride.
Yeah? Hey, Jim, how come you know so much about this circus stuff?
Well, believe it or not, Inspector, I traveled with a circus in Europe one summer. Worked my way straight across three countries that way.
Doing what?
Oh, practically everything. I was beginning to show promise as a trick bicycle rider when I had to leave and go back to school.
Well, how does this case shape up to your professional eye?
I'm not convinced. Now, don't ask me why. But somehow this whole affair just doesn't look right. Let's take a little more time on it, Inspector.
And that's the situation we're in, Mr. Eldorf. I wired you to come because I know this delay will put your circus in a bad way financially.
Yeah, it certainly does, Baldwin. If Carver won't grant us another loan, well, the Eldorf circus is washed up.
That's what I was afraid of. Where is Carver?
Oh, he's outside having a look around. He has it sized up as a poor risk. I can tell by his attitude.
Mr. Eldorf, maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but I don't trust Carver.
No? Why not, Bolin?
Well, if we have to close up, Carver can claim most of the circus as a payment on the loans he's already advanced you, can't he?
That's right.
Then he stands to gain more by not lending us any more money, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. But I've done business with Carver for years. Surely he wouldn't...
Oh, careful. Here he comes.
Well, Carver, what do you think? It'd be a shame to close the circus down for want of another small loan, wouldn't it?
Well, maybe it would, Mr. Eldorf, but I can't lend you any more money on this outfit.
Oh, why not?
Because that menagerie is the only thing that's worth the amount I've already advanced you.
Now, wait a minute, Carver.
Oh, let's not mince words, Eldorf. This one-horse circus is through. The sooner you face it, the better it'll be for all concerned. You might have pulled through this season if it hadn't been for those accidents. The way things stand now...
You don't suppose that anyone would be deliberately forcing me into this position to get control of the circus, do you, Father?
I don't know exactly what you're getting at, Eldorf. Frankly, I don't care. As far as that loan is concerned, the answer's no. Those other notes are due at the end of the month, and if you don't pay up, I'll foreclose. Good day.
Well, how do you like that?
Well, it's like I said, Mr. Eldorf. Carver's out to get this circus.
Well, I won't let him. I'll fight to the last ditch.
Well, what can you do? We have to have money to pay the artists and help every Saturday or they'll quit.
Well, there must be some way.
Oh, we could sell the menagerie to that jungle circus outfit that keeps offering to buy it.
No, Baldwin, the menagerie is what brings in the customers. Without that, we'd be nothing more than a fourth-rate tent show.
Well, what's the answer, then?
Well, we've still got to the end of the month. We'll hang on. Only you've got to see to it that no more accidents happen. One more, and Carver's got us right where he wants it.
And now, back to the Avenger and Death in Midair.
Jim, what sort of clues do you expect to find here in the menagerie? Don't tell me you even suspect these animals.
No, Fern. I'm merely trying to track down something that could have furnished the motive for those three deaths.
Those jungle bred lions are ferocious-looking beasts, aren't they?
Yes, they're dangerous.
The cheetahs are cute, though.
Say, there's a liger. I didn't know there were any of those in captivity in this country.
What's a liger, Jim?
Well, it's a very rare animal, Fern. Part lion and part tiger. I know there are a few of them in foreign zoos, but I'm certainly surprised to see one in a broken-down circus. They're worth a lot of money.
Well, I like the looks of my Scotty better. Say, Jim, what's all this I hear about you arranging to have a friend of yours appear on the trapeze for the matinee?
Oh, who told you about that?
Louis, the balloon vendor. He said Mr. Baldwin told him about it. I never knew you were acquainted with any trapeze artists.
Well, Fern, it's a kind of a secret. I wonder if I should trust you with it.
I'll never forgive you if you don't.
Well, don't breathe a word of this, but the great Gilberto who will perform this afternoon is none other than yours truly.
Jim, no.
It's the only way, Fern. We're pressed for time on this case, and so far we have no solid evidence against anyone.
But, Jim, why should you risk your life?
Oh, now, don't worry. I won't be taking any risks.
I'm going to tell the inspector. He'll put a stop to this.
The inspector knows all about it, and he agrees that it's a good idea.
Jim, please don't. Something's sure to happen to you. Why, you're a rank amateur at that sort of thing, even if you did play around at it one summer.
Your concern is very flattering, but believe me, Fern, I'll be all right. Now, come along. I want you to get a good seat in the grandstand, because this will be the one and only performance of the great Gilberto.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I give you our star attraction this afternoon. Introducing one of the greatest aerialists in this country, a great Gilberto. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Gilberto will ride his bicycle across the entire length of the tight wire.
Oh, Inspector, you should have stopped him. I just know something awful is going to happen to him.
Now, Fern, Jim knows what he's doing. Look, he's on the bicycle ready to go.
The great Gilberto begins his perilous ride. Watch closely. He's on his way now. A quarter of the way across now. Daring all laws of gravity. He's reached the halfway mark. His bicycle is wobbling. Look out below. He's falling.
Fern, Fern, it's all right. Jim's safe. Yes. Hey, look.
Why, he's hanging in midair.
Yes, he had two wires attached to his safety belt. They'll hold him up until the net is stretched below him. Then he'll cut the wires and jump into the net.
Oh, why don't they hurry with it?
Yeah, it's almost ready. There. You see?
Gilberto, get ready to jump. The net is ready.
Jim's cutting the wires.
There he goes. He made it.
You're sure that you're all right, Jim?
Fit as a fiddle, friend.
Now, just where did all this get us, Jim?
Inspector, there was nothing wrong with that wire, and nothing wrong with the bicycle. Whatever happened up there happened to me. I got dizzy and lost my balance.
That was quite apparent.
Oh, here comes Baldwin. Look out for fireworks.
So it was you, huh, Brandon? Just what were you trying to prove by that fiasco?
One thing, and I did prove it, Baldwin.
Huh? What was that?
You'll find out later. Right now, I want you to take a message to Mr. Eldorf for me.
What message?
Tell Eldorf he can pull up stakes after this evening's show.
You mean the case is solved, Brandon?
It will be by that time.
Mr. Eldorf will be glad to hear that. I'll go tell him.
Is that true, Jim? Do you know who's behind all this?
Not yet, Inspector. But all I've got to figure out now is why I lost my balance up there. Then I think I'll have the solution to this mystery.
Why, hello, Mr. Brandon.
Oh, hello, Louis. How's the balloon business?
Not so good. Hey, are you on your way to that meeting in the cook tent?
Yes, you coming?
Yeah, sure thing. Wait a minute, I'll park this balloon machine inside the big tent. Be with you in a minute.
Say, know what this meeting's being held for, Louis?
Sure, Mr. Brandon. About half the performers want to leave the show. Yeah, they're fed up with all the bad luck we've been running into. The cook tent's over this way.
How about you, Louis? You going to stick?
Well, I don't know, Mr. Brandon. Well, I hate to leave the animals. Of course, a fellow's got to look out for the future in this business. Well, here we are.
We have clearance to...
Meeting's already begun.
After the
Let's
show tonight.
In the back.
From then on, there's no reason to believe we can't meet our schedule and make some money. Now, is everybody satisfied to stick until the end of the month at least to give me a chance to make the proper replacements?
Well, I'm going to stick. I'm not. I'm leaving this outfit tonight. This show won't last the season out, and you know it, Baldwin.
Listen, Slim. That's just an ugly rumor somebody started.
Fellas, you're suckers if you let them talk you into it. You wait till the end of the month, you're killed for the season without a 10 show.
Slim is right. We'd be better off to quit now.
Wait a minute. Well, all right, take your time and talk it over. Louie.
Yes, sir.
Come along with me over to my office and get some paper. Then you can come back here and give everybody a chance to vote by ballot.
Okay, Mr. Baldwin.
Mr. Brandon.
Yes, Baldwin.
Would you be kind enough to collect the ballots and deliver them to my office when they're ready?
Well, certainly.
All right, then. Come on, Louie.
Well, where's Louis with them ballots? Does Baldwin expect us to wait here all day?
This show's had a jinx on it ever since we started.
Listen, what's that?
Why, it's the animals. They're on the loose. Let's help round them up.
Come on!
Jim, are all the animals accounted for?
Yes, Fern.
I heard some shots. What happened?
Oh, Louis shot a lion and one of the hippos.
How in the world did those animals get loose, Jim?
Simple enough. Somebody deliberately opened the cages.
Who would do a thing like that?
I don't know who did it, but I think I know why it was done.
You do?
Yes. Someone wanted to make sure the circus wouldn't continue its tour.
But who? All the circus people were in the cook tent.
Not all, Fern. Baldwin, Louis, and Eldorf, the owner, weren't there.
Well, Mr. Carver hasn't left yet. I saw him over near Baldwin's office about an hour ago.
Oh, Brandon, have you seen Mr. Eldorf around anywhere?
No, I haven't, Baldwin. Say, this animal break leaves you in a bad spot, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'd say it does. Louis went completely off his head and shot two valuable animals.
Yes. Then he took his life in his hands to save that liger.
That crazy fool. Eldorf will probably fire him for this.
Oh, there's Eldorf going into the office now.
Well, I might as well give him the bad news. You'll have to decide what's to be done.
Fern, come on over to the midway. I've just hit on something. I think we can close up this case in short order.
Jim, now that you've called the inspector and ordered half a dozen men to surround the tent, what are you going to do?
Fern, we have a whole hour before the main show begins. And within that hour, the criminal will enter the big tent and encounter the Avenger.
What was that noise? There must be something wrong with that machine.
Yes, there's something wrong with that machine, Louis. It's an instrument of murder. Turn that gas off.
Who's in this tent?
The Avenger is here as an invisible witness against you, Louis.
The Avenger? Huh. What good is an invisible witness?
As good as the evidence he can produce.
What evidence?
That balloon inflating tank you have there. That is all the state will need to prove your crimes against you.
Take the evidence, then. No mere voice can deliver me into the hands of the law. I can escape. You won't get command this time, Avenger.
By all means, flee, Louis. The inspector's men await you.
Gosh, Jim, the show was good tonight. Too bad this is their last performance here.
Well, they're anxious to move along, Fern, and catch up with their schedule. Well, the crowd's all cleared out of the tent now. Shall we go?
Just a minute, Jim. Mm-hmm. There are a few things I've got to get straightened out here.
Well, what's bothering you, Inspector?
That gas Louis released in the tent here when he wanted to get rid of an aerialist. If he released it before the performance, why didn't it affect everyone in the tent?
Because the gas rose to the top of the tent, displaced the oxygen, and formed a pocket or stratum up there. That caused the aerialist to grow dizzy and fall.
But what was Louis' motive, Jim? After all, if the circus closed, he lost his job.
Yes, Louis was after that liger in the menagerie. That rare animal is worth more than $50,000. Eldorf picked it up in South America a year ago, but had no idea how valuable it was.
And when Louis joined the circus at the beginning of the season, he recognized its value?
That's right. So Louis began making offers to buy the menagerie through an outfit called the Jungle Circus. He couldn't bid for the liger alone because that might give away its value.
But Mr. Eldorf was sentimental about the menagerie and he wouldn't sell.
Yes, and his sentiment will pay big dividends in this case. After all this publicity, that liger will be worth a dollar a look.
Jim, up until the time the animals escaped, he didn't know who the criminal was. What tipped you off that it was Louis?
Louis risked his life to get that liger back in its cage, but he shot the two other most valuable animals needlessly and ruthlessly. That meant one thing. He knew the value of the liger.
But why did he arrange that break?
So that he'd have an excuse to shoot some of the animals and strengthen his chances of buying what was left of the menagerie, including the liger. His motive all the way through was to force the circus out of business.
Well, that ties it up, Jim. Well, I'll run along to headquarters and file my report. Now, good night to both of you.
Good night, Inspector.
Jim, there's just one other little thing that I don't understand.
Oh, about the balloons, right?
Yes. Why wouldn't Louis sell them to people until after they came out of the big tent?
Because if those balloons were brought into the tent, they might get loose. And if that happened, they would fly up only as far as the gas pocket and remain suspended there. That would have given the whole scheme away. Satisfied?
Perfectly. Oh, come on, Jim. Yeah? I want to see Mr. Baldwin before he leaves.
Baldwin? What for?
I've decided to manage the great Gilberto. I want to see if I can get him some bookings.
All characters, names, places, and plots used in the Avenger program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
This is a thought. A thought. A thought. Remember, listen for another adventure of...
The Avenger.
It's me again, Jennifer Moss, author of a series of mysteries with a metaphysical twist. My fourth book, Friend of the Family, will be dropping May 1st. So slither on over to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or iTunes and catch up on the series today. Just search for Town Red. You're listening to the great detectives of old-time radio. Back to your host, Adam Graham.
Welcome back. Well, with the circus, the film music almost might have been appropriate, but I did put in the request to Andrew to have it removed because we've just gotten so many complaints about that. Of course, as usual, the Avengers' appearance, or appearance being invisible, was completely unnecessary and superfluous. But he did it anyway, because if you were a detective who could also be an invisible superhero, you'd just have to get that out, even if it wasn't strictly necessary every once in a while. Well, we turn to listener comments and feedback now, and a comment from Al. Hi, Adam. Love the Christmas two-hour special, especially the December 45 episode. That was a memorable year for our family as my dad returned home after 3 years overseas that Christmas. While he was gone, I got to use his ham receiver, Holocrafter's SX-25, to listen to my shows. Thanks for all that you do in bringing quality shows, comments to Old Time Radio. Well, thank you so much for your comments, Al, and glad to help with reliving that memory. All right, well, that will actually do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for our last look at Philip Marlowe, and next Tuesday for The Avenger. In the meantime, send your comments, box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.